Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks, Patty. I'm Dave Cohen. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
You know, somebody told me a long time ago, and I always liked this expression.
What's that?
Didn't particularly like the guy that said it, but I like the expression.
He had some value there.
Well, I'm not being dishonest. I'm being honest here.
All right, I won't ask you who it is.
But he said, no, please don't. He said, you can stand on the beach and you can howl at that hurricane as much as you want, but it's still going to come. I mean, if it's headed for you, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
When it comes to gas prices, I know people get upset, but what are you going to do? I don't.
Well, and I don't know if we're waiting to see if the speculation comes to fruition.
Which yes, is what?
Well, the speculation was that because of the attack on the Saudi oil facilities and a loss of 5% of the production worldwide, that we would see massive increases in the price of oil lead to huge increases of the price of gasoline. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this. Oil did settle in up more than $7 a barrel yesterday. But right now, it's down $3 a barrel from where it was yesterday. Gas prices overnight, according to AAA, went up a penny from $2.16 to $2.17. Gas Buddy tells us, wait, Thursday and Friday, that's when we're going to see the higher price of oil translate into more increases of the price at the pump. But then the president comes out last night and says, hold up, we got plenty of oil.
We're and oil gas. Independent. He said he had plenty of gas, too, don't forget.
Well, he does have plenty of gas. Yeah. I understand that.
Well, that's what he said. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were making a joke.
No, and he got a laugh out of it. He said we have plenty of oil and plenty of gas.
Yeah.
So do you look around for gas prices, or do you just go to your favorite spot?
Well, I don't drive ridiculously far to find lower gas prices, but you know, one of the nice things about these wholesale club stores is that they have their own gas now, whether you go to Sam's or Costco or wherever, and their prices are generally 10 to 15 cents cheaper than everywhere else. So for me, that's the way to go. Since I have the membership anyway, I take advantage of it.
I'm a picky little fellow when it comes to gas, Dave. I go to one place that has gas with no ethanol in it.
Do you let your gas sit in your tank for an exorbitantly long period of
premium time? No, why?
Because that's generally, they say you don't need ethanol-free
unless you're leaving. I don't need that.
I mean, if you're in your lawnmower, you want ethanol-free because you leave it sitting there for weeks or months at a time sometimes.
Premium, baby. That's what I go with.
Do you drive a high-performance sports car?
Premium, no ethanol. Because I'm picky. Thank you, Dave.
And you have a lot of money to spend.
It's not that much. You're talking about what? $3 a fill-up?
Well, isn't premium almost like 50 cents a gallon?
I don't pay attention. I'm a picky little fellow when it comes to gas. Let's move on.
It makes you happy.
Pearson Cross. I am Associate Dean. Bye, Dave. Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL.
Yeah, we call it University of Louisiana Lafayette, but whatever you like.
I thought you moved the other way. But
yeah.
No, you didn't. You moved from the north.
We're told to say it's UL Lafayette. That's the official.
At what you're supposed to say what?
We're supposed to say UL Lafayette. That's like what's on everything.
I
UL
gotcha.
Lafayette.
Formerly, what was it formerly?
Southern Louisiana, Southwestern Louisiana.
USL,
University,
that's what it was.
SLU, you know.
USL.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the thing that we invited you on to talk about, which is the politics of budget surplus. And I got to be careful here because there's an election going on. So maybe we can keep it to political action committees because candidates got nothing to do with that. Right, Pearson?
That's correct. And if you're talking about the state budget, you're absolutely right.
All right. So when it comes to political action committee commercials that talk about increased taxes, is that really accurate that we're being overtaxed? Because I understand there's a surplus, but that was it's estimated. And it all relates to this half a penny on every dollar that as it relates to sales tax, right?
No, it doesn't. So
that's what I said. Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
That's the misconception. So apparently sales tax is not what's producing this. We're actually getting returns from three spots, and that is increase in income tax, increase in corporate taxes, and also federal tax changes boost state taxes. So sales tax are still kind of flat, so we're really not seeing that extra there. But we're getting taxes from other sources, which frankly is a good thing, not a bad thing.
So when it comes to claims that somebody increased taxes, that's not accurate because that's got nothing to do with the budget surplus?
Well, you know, it all goes to the same spot, but, you know, sales taxes is very flat, you know, so at this point, that's not really what's producing the bump we're getting from these other sources. But, you know, they did, you know, extend a half-cent tax, and then they cut that back to 0.45 cents, you know, they cut 0.05 off of it, so that's what we have now. We have the fourth highest sales tax in the nation at the state takes 4.45 cents. So that is very high. And our state tax structure is out of whack because we are too high on the sales tax front. So they're right in that regard.
So how would you put it into whack?
Well, I would lower sales taxes. You know, sales taxes are pretty regressive. So, and when I say regressive, I mean they fall harder on the people least able to pay. It's figured that if you're around the poverty line or the subsistence level in Louisiana, that you're paying nearly 10% of your total income on sales tax. And the reason you do that is because you spend every penny that comes into your pocket on buying something. And most of that is taxed. And as a result, your tax rate is very high.
When it comes to budgeting for the year, when it comes to surplus and estimating all of that, the state has a lot of needs that things that have been cut before, right, that could be restored with a surplus, or is that not the way people look at it?
Well, that's not the way people look at it, and that's really what this argument is about. Okay, we have about a $500 million surplus. If you add up surpluses for the last 2 years before that, you're getting up over $900 million. That's close to $1 billion in surplus. On the other hand, we have a $14 billion deficit in funding for transportation, and that would not be any new transportation. That would just be currently outstanding needs. We have a pension funding that's out of whack. The state has not allocated raises for professors since 2008.
Wow.
You know, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of areas. You know, we, for the first time this year in a while, gave our school teachers just a little taste, $1,000 each. So, you know, we're not really doing that well in lots of areas, you know.
So when it comes to, we'll answer this when we come back because we got to take a break. Are we underfunded, even though we have a $500 million surplus?
That would be nice.
That's a lot. You had to cover the whole budget for a couple of years. So are we underfunded? Or are we overtaxed? Or do we have it just right? Pearson Cross continues with our political fairy tale when we return. He's an associate dean of the College of Liberal Arts and associate professor of political science at ULL. Back in a flash on WWL. Oh, if you have any questions, please text them to 87870 and I will pass them along. 922 now, talking about $500 million budget surplus. It was predicted to be $300 million back in August. And are we overtaxed or underfunded? Because I think Pearson Cross, our guest associate dean of the College of Liberal Arts and associate professor of political science at ULL, that it depends on, I guess, one guy's bacon is another woman's pork, right?
That's exactly right. You know, I would say we are both overtaxed and underfunded. You know, I think what happens in this state is, you know, we spend a couple billion dollars a year on five major giveaways, you know, to oil companies, the fossil fuel industry, the extractive industries. We allow state people to deduct on their, you know, for their federal taxes on their state taxes. That costs us $1 billion a year nearly. And that goes to the high income individuals. So the system is rigged. If we had a couple more billion dollars in the general fund and we were spending that money effectively on roads, on infrastructure, on teachers' salaries, on professors' salaries, given that I'm a professor, you know, I think we would get more bang for our buck and our state would be better. We'd quit, you know, being the worst state in the union.
If we increase spending, is that what you're saying?
Well,
or did I miss something?
If instead of just giving all these you know, wet kisses to the fat cats at the top, we in fact spread it around and we're smarter about it. Let's not have the highest sales tax in the country. Let's have a reasonable, balanced kind of approach to taxes, and then get rid of all the giveaways that we do to the favored businesses and industries. Do we really have to bribe people to come here? If so, we're doing something wrong.
Let me talk about the political fallout of this. In terms of the election, is it all about either convincing people that we're underfunded or overtaxed?
Well, the fallout is going to, you know, is going to be that clearly Abraham and Rasponi are going to jump on this as evidence that we are overtaxed. Abraham is going to defend it and say we're going to make, you know, investments in things that we really want and remind people of the discomfort of the Jindal years when we were cutting and cutting and cutting. So this particular bit of news can be spun either way, and there'll be people who will find, you know, both of those arguments convincing.
What about the legislature? Do they have, because, you know, we got the big election coming up in October. What part do they play individually in this? Because I don't think people really take the time to find out who's on what committee and who voted how, do they?
No, they don't take the time. And most people give the legislature an entire pass, and particularly their own legislature. Most people don't know much about it. But, you know, when this passed the legislature, they had to get 70 votes to get it past the legislature. And they got those votes with a number of Republicans who voted for the extra 0.45 cent sales tax that, in fact, you know, is the cause of all the contention today, even though, as we said, it's not necessarily the cause of the revenue increase. But we're going to be seeing a much more conservative legislature after the current election. So I wouldn't be very surprised if they revisited this and said, look, we want to get as lean as possible. And they started, you know, taking taxes away.
Somebody texted in and said, yeah, let's change more income tax. People will move to Florida or Texas where they don't even have to charge income tax, or at least, I guess, pay state income tax. But I think what people don't realize, Pearson, is that nothing comes for free. And although you don't pay a sales tax, the property taxes are like crazy there, are they not?
Oh, yeah. Texas property taxes are just will just eat you up. But the point is not, you know, you got to pay money to keep state government up and running. Our big problem right now is that we tax too much on the people who can pay it the least, and we give away too much money in the form of tax breaks to people who don't need it.
Is there any way to track that? Not about the, well, I guess you could look at it both ways. I know there are people listening right now that are saying people that don't need the help get it, not in, yeah, in terms of what you just said, but at the lower end. And there are people saying that people at the top get the help and they don't need it, but the people at the top will tell you, well, we need that to create jobs, et cetera. And how do you run the numbers on this to find out who's right?
Well, you know, that's the thing about educating yourself. And there are a number of places, the Center for Budget Priorities, the Louisiana Budget Project are probably two pretty good places. The legislature puts out different kinds of studies from time to time. LSU puts out studies. You know, the Blanco Center is about to start putting out studies over here. So there's lots of information out there. It's just a matter of people educating themselves.
But is it, will they, or is it all about perception?
It's perception. They won't. The vast majority of voters have very little information. In fact, our ballot is so long that, frankly, a lot of voters are going to – I'm really curious to see how fast voting participation falls off. Okay, everybody's going to, you know, vote for the governor, right? Mm-hmm. But by the time you get down to that, you know, city council person on the ballot, you know, and it's choice, the 120th choice you've looked at, I'm expecting people just to give up. So I would bet that participation is going to fall precipitously between voting for governor and voting for the other positions down the ballot.
No, wait. You're telling me that people are going to make the effort to go to the polls, to sign in, to show their ID, to wait in line if they have to, get in a booth, vote for the governor, and then they're not going to even go all the way down? They're just going to cast that vote and leave and not even look at the ballot?
Yeah, we see that all the time. Like, wow. For example, in Constitution voting, when you start to get 10, 12 Constitution amendments on the ballot, you start to see the voter participation falls off on the last few. And this is a really long ballot, and I'm expecting to see some voter participation falling off. So people get there. The race they really care about is the one that, you know, they may have one or two races they really care about, and then the rest of these people, they're like, eh, who cares?
Somebody texted in about Plaquemines Parish, and I live there, full disclosure. Talking about a bridge, a private-public partnership with tolls. Now there's some pushback on that, saying that, well, the state has this money that they really should use to fund that project, and I understand fully where that argument's coming from. But then somebody texted in and said, well, in terms of priorities, if we have a surplus, what comes first? Is it roads and bridges, or is it, say, the things, education and healthcare, that have already been cut, and have those cuts ever been restored, or is that where we should look first?
Well, you know, I can't really weigh in on that. I think people have different priorities. I will say the last time that Louisiana got its education system back up to the southern regional average in terms of spending was 2008 when, you know, Blanco was last in office. But we've got roads and bridges that are in critical shape around here and could fall down. Every time I drive over that bridge over in Lake Charles, I hold my breath. So, you know, I don't think it's an either or. I think we got to do all of the above personally, but I'm not the person who writes tax policy.
Didn't the president say if he was reelected or elected, he would build that bridge? Is that right, or am I imagining that?
The president or the governor? Or the president?
I thought the president said that.
Yeah, on a swing. Yeah, I think he did say that. You think we should hold him to it?
I think you should.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll definitely let him know next time I talk to him.
Yeah, I'd be polite. Thank you, Pearson. Have
my
a good
pleasure.
Day. Pearson Cross, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor at ULL. You know, that is...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.